This morning's public reading of the Word of God is found in Luke chapter 7 this morning. Luke chapter 7, I'm going to be reading just the first 10 verses here this morning. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. Now, when he had called all his sayings in the, all his sayings in the audience of the people, he returned into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant was dear unto him, was sick, and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when he came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he had built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, Go, and he goeth. And to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Please be seated, and may God bless his word. Well, the first thing, we see that Jesus goes back to Capernaum. Now, what most people don't realize when they read the New Testament, especially the four Gospels, Jesus' headquarters, the center of his operation, believe it or not, was not in Jerusalem. You would have thought that Jesus would have had his headquarters, or the center of his operation, if you will, right in the capital city, but he chose not to. He chose a city up in the north. He chose a city that was located on the Lake of Galilee, which is actually closer, more closer to a Gentile population, believe it or not, than it was to a Jewish population. So Capernaum was his headquarters. That was the center of his operation. And when you read the four Gospels, you will find that Jesus spent a lot of time leaving Capernaum to go to Jerusalem, for instance, or to go elsewhere. And then you find times when things got kind of dicey, and the pressure on Jesus was growing from the authorities who wanted to kill him, you would find him retreating back to Capernaum. The next thing to this narrative is a certain centurion. Now, a centurion was a Roman soldier who had a number of men under his authority. Now, the centurion was normally sent by the emperor to any given location in the Roman Empire simply to be a show of force. Okay, this centurion had so many men under him, and they would be garrisoned, or they would be in a fort-like structure, or they would be housed in the city. And that was there to basically deter any uprising, and it was there to maintain law and order and the peace of Rome. But there's something unique about this centurion. Well, by the way, this centurion was not a Jewish man. He was a Gentile. And did you notice the friendly relationship that the Jews had in that local community with this Gentile? Because normally the relationship between a Jew and a Gentile living in Judea under the rule of Rome was not a very harmonious relationship, especially a Roman soldier. But this guy's a Roman soldier. He represents the Roman Empire. He's the bad guy. He's the enemy. But if you notice, when Jesus comes, these Jews had high praise for this man. What did they say about this particular centurion? In verse 5, verse 4, he was worthy for whom that he should do that, for he loveth our nation, and he had built us a synagogue. Beloved, you don't find too many Jews in the first century that would give praise and glory to any Roman official at all. So why this relationship? Very easy. This centurion had become a follower of biblical Judaism. He was a proselyte. He had renounced all of the gods of the Greeks and the Romans, and this centurion was now willing to accept that only one true and living God ever exists, and that God is found through the expression of the faith and the beliefs of the Jews. Now, whether or not he went the full gamut and got circumcised and went all the way with his devotion or his conversion to Judaism, it doesn't say. But it does tell us that the Jews loved him. They spoke highly of him. Matter of fact, in verses 3 it says, the elders of the Jews beseeched Jesus that he would come and heal his servant. So they had a high regard for this Roman official. And the only way that that could ever have happened was that the fact that this centurion himself became a proselyte or a convert to Judaism, only in that realm. Now, something else is quite jumps off the page about the centurion. When in verses 6, then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. This centurion apparently also had some type of an understanding of who Jesus was. He was more than just a mere man. There was something different and unique about Jesus, probably quite unique and different from even the religious leaders that this centurion was willing to sit under when he went to the synagogue. There's a marked difference with this man. But then the centurion uses the position of authority to make an outstanding statement. The centurion says, I'm under authority. Whatever the emperor tells me to do, in essence, I do. Wherever the emperor sends me, I go. And then he says, I have people who are under me in authority. And I tell one soldier, I want you to go there. Verse 8, and the soldier obeys. I tell another soldier to come here. I want you to deliver this message to Pontius Pilate, or maybe to King Herod, okay, at that time. And the soldier does it. Then he says, when I tell my servant, come here and pour me some water or a cup of wine, my servant complies. They obey. And then the centurion turns that image around and says to Jesus, just speak the word. Just speak. When Jesus heard these things, verse 9, he marveled at the centurion, turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, the ones who came with this message, they go back, okay? The centurion told these people, his messengers, you tell Jesus, I'm not worthy for him to come in my roof, and I'm not worthy to come to him. So I'm going to send you guys to speak on my behalf. You tell Jesus, just speak it. Just say it. And apparently Jesus did so, because by the time they hit the house, this servant whom the centurion loved so much was already up and running and totally healed. Now, beloved, that is faith. And I believe that this centurion was a saved man, because the faith that he exercised in Christ, or towards Christ, spoke that there was something even more unique about the centurion. That apparently he could have been a follower of Christ. And sensing his own unworthiness, sends these servants off to say, Lord, you're too holy to come under my roof, and I'm too vile to come to you. Just speak the word. Now that is faith. That is the kind of faith that leads to salvation. Well, may the Lord truly bless his word.